In an article titled, "Do Americans Work Too Hard?" Yes, and it's not healthy. Work statistics from the OECD, which stands for the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, says, and I quote, "Americans work 1,811 hours a year, which is more than Italy at 1,694, the UK at 1,532, Switzerland, 1,529, France, 1,511, Sweden, 1,440, Germany, 1,341. This means that compared to Switzerland, we Americans work 7 weeks more each year. The same article mentions that Americans are less likely to take long vacations, believing that doing so will negatively impact the chance for promotion and even threaten their job security. The drive to work in America is strong, and it seems to be reinforced by financial rewards. A Harvard Business Review article reports data that 62% of high-earning individuals work more than 50 hours a week, 35% work more than 60 hours a week, and 10% work more than 80 hours a week. Not only do Americans work hard, apparently many Americans are not getting enough sleep. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 1 in 3 adults reported not getting enough rest or sleep every day. Additional research found that more than 1/3 of Americans report getting less than 7 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period. About 30% of adults have symptoms of insomnia, with 10% having insomnia that impacts their daily activities. From this data, it sure seems that a lot of work tends to be something common to our American culture, at least in terms of the number of hours spent doing work. And whether work is related to the issue of sleep, it seems that more rest could be beneficial for many Americans. Does God say anything about work and taking a break and getting some rest? Indeed, he does. In fact, the Bible teaches us about the importance of consistent patterns of rest in our lives, even for an entire day, when it tells us about the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? What is the purpose of the Sabbath? Are there things we can do, and are there things we are not to do on the Sabbath? If so, what can we do and what can't we do on the Sabbath? Today we come to a passage in Luke that talks about the Sabbath. And this passage is going to lead us to look into some things that the Bible teaches us about the Sabbath, what its purpose is, and how we might apply it to our lives. So join me. Let's look at Luke 6, 1 through 11. Before we do, let's pray. God, we ask you to teach us. You've included this in your word for a purpose. And we want to understand it, and we want to rightly apply it. And give us wisdom. Give us understanding, and use this in our lives for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Luke 6, 1 through 11. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In this passage, you may have noticed the repetition of a word, lawful. It's in verses 2, 4, and 9. The Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, initially bring up the word lawful in verse 2 by asking Jesus, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Jesus uses the word lawful as well twice in verses 4 and 9 to counter-question the Pharisees about what is lawful and what is not on the Sabbath. The issue at hand that the Pharisees confront Jesus about is why Jesus' disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. The problem was not that they were picking grain, for this was permissible, but the issue relates to doing this on the Sabbath. The Pharisees say that what the disciples are doing, it's not okay, it's not lawful on the Sabbath. You're breaking the rules. This brings us to a primary question this passage considers. How are we to understand and apply what God tells us about the Sabbath? How are we to understand and apply what God tells us about the Sabbath? And that question sort of begs the question, what does God tell us about the Sabbath? To know what is lawful and what is not, we need to consider what God tells us about the Sabbath. So first, let's consider some background, just a little background here about the Sabbath day that will help us to understand Luke 6 before we go further. The word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to cease, desist from labor, and to rest. From the beginning of the Bible, we see the concept of a Sabbath day implied on the account of creation that's given to us in Genesis. There we read that God looked at everything he had made, it was good, and then on the seventh day, he rested. God himself, after completing his work of creation, chose to rest, as it says in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. The first time the word Sabbath is mentioned isn't until we get to Exodus 16, verse 23 and following, when God describes how he will provide manna for his people in the desert after they had come out of Egypt. They were to gather twice the amount of manna or bread on the sixth day, bake it, and then on the seventh day there would be no bread given, and they were to rest. We then see the Sabbath mentioned in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, where God says that for 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day you shall not do any work. In various other places, the Sabbath day is mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus enters the synagogues and teaches on the Sabbath, and he does other ministry on this day, some of which cause controversy, as it does in our passage today. Let's ask another question. Why has God established the Sabbath? The reason that is given for keeping the Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 11, is that God rested after his creation on the Sabbath day and that he blessed the day and established it as holy. What is clear is that the Sabbath is meant as a gift from God to his people for a day of rest and a day of worship. We see this point made clear as well in the parallel passage to Luke 6, found in Mark 2, where Jesus says in verse 27 and following that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Let's say that again. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The implication of that statement is that the Sabbath is designed as a gift to God's people. It's a day of rest and a day of worship. Another reason for the Sabbath is given for us in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Here we are again reminded of the reality that God rested in creation. But we are also told that a reason is the fact that God brought his people out of Egypt. He delivered them. And in the Old Testament, the exodus from Egypt was a salvation-like event. It was God's deliverance of his people. It was the greatest kind of salvation-type experience that they had up to that point. And this time, it was a deliverance from the bondage of physical slavery. And that, of course, points to and symbolizes, in a sense, the future ultimate salvation that Jesus would bring, the deliverance from the bondage of sin. So when God says in Deuteronomy that a reason for the Sabbath is because he delivered them from Egypt, the implication is that the Sabbath is linked with remembering and worshiping God for his salvation. The implication is also that the salvation of God results in a rest, that Jesus has provided a rest, a spiritual rest, and that we are to enter into that spiritual rest, the Sabbath rest that Jesus himself provides, that God himself provides. And the Exodus event foreshadows that. The Sabbath day then is a rest that points towards this ultimate future rest of salvation that people who believe in Jesus will experience forever with God in all eternity. It points towards his salvation. Now, a question that many of you may be wondering, and this is a fourth question that we see before we get into more of the details of our passage, is, does the Sabbath day have to be on a Sunday? Now, originally, the Sabbath was the seventh day, which would be a Saturday. But the Christian church moved it to a Sunday, the first day of the week, in part to coincide with Sunday as the day Christ rose from the dead. And God didn't have a problem with this. I think God's behind it all. Now, I do think that it's ideal to celebrate the Sabbath on the day you worship and go to church. I think that's great. I think Sunday's a great day if you can do it, consistent with when many would attend church and worship. But the issue of rest and worship can also be applied on other days of the week. With various work schedules that many people have, which often results with Sunday being a work day, the principle of the Sabbath can certainly be applied on another day of the week. After all, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the principle is more, the heart of the matter seems to be more the emphasis. Furthermore, we need to understand, and we're going to get into this a little more, that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And it's been mentioned already. It's in our passage. We'll get into that a little more. So now that we have some background, a little bit of brief background, and I know there's a lot more we could say about all four of these questions, but a little brief, now that we've had some brief background about what God says about the Sabbath, let's look specifically at our text this morning, Luke 6, 1 through 11. And what we see here are two points pertaining to the Sabbath. Two points pertaining to the Sabbath. The first, the Sabbath is not meant to restrict us from doing basic tasks for our basic needs. That is crystal clear in this passage. Let's unpack it. Luke 6 begins telling us about Jesus passing through some grain fields with his disciples on the Sabbath, and the disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating the grain. The Pharisees, seeing this, confront Jesus and his disciples with a question: why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? The "you" here is plural, and the Pharisees include Jesus in their accusation, even though it is the disciples who are the ones doing it. Verse 3, Jesus answers them in verses 3 and 4 by reminding them about how David and those with him entered the house of God, took and ate the consecrated bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. You can find the account that Jesus is referring here about David in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, and 1 Samuel 22, verses 9 and 10. But why does Jesus answer their question about the lawfulness of picking grain and preparing it for eating on the Sabbath with this account about David and his men? Well, the reason is that Jesus makes it clear that there are situations where the law is not meant to be an absolute restriction. You see, according to the law, only the priests were to partake of the consecrated bread. Yet David and his men needed food, and the consecrated bread of the presence was all they had. So it was appropriate for them to have the food to meet a basic need. So Jesus reminds them of this scenario and applies it in a similar way to his disciples. They were hungry. They had a basic need, and it was permissible for them to get some food to eat. The law about the Sabbath was not meant to restrict them completely from doing basic tasks for basic needs. Verse 5 helps us to understand the issue further. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." What does this mean? Jesus is referring to himself here when he says the Son of Man. That's a term that he would use to refer to himself. And he says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. What we know from the Gospels, and you see this especially in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 17, that Christ has fulfilled the law. And when Christ has fulfilled the law, there's this reality that we are no longer under that law, but under grace. Romans 6 tells us we are no longer under law, but under grace. This does not mean we have an excuse to sin. This does not mean that you completely ignore things like the Ten Commandments. But there's this idea that Christ has fulfilled it. He has fulfilled what we could not. He has fulfilled all righteousness. And some scholars would go so far as to say the Sabbath isn't really relevant at all so much because Christ has fulfilled it. Now, I take a little more middle of approach that this, as you're probably figuring out, that this is a good thing for us, it's a gift from God, but we aren't bound to it. We aren't legalistically bound to it because Christ has fulfilled it. And with that says, you know, the heart of the matter is following God and following Jesus. And in Jesus, the law and its requirements are fulfilled for us. The purpose of the Sabbath is for our rest. It's for our worship. What matters is the heart of following this general purpose and intention of the Sabbath rather than just legalistically following it. And look, some people can legalistically follow principles in the law without their hearts being right. And Jesus' biggest criticism in the Gospels is with these self-righteous religious leaders who base their righteousness on their performance and rejected him. They're basing things on their performance rather than his. So the Sabbath is not meant to restrict us from doing basic tasks for our basic needs. So what can you do on the Sabbath? It's a little bit of a trick question. Because in light of what I'm saying, it's not really the best question to be focused on. It's not really about what you can or can't do. Now, certainly there are certain things that pertain to basic tasks and needs, and you're going to maybe need to make lunch today. I mean, am I allowed to go home and make a sandwich? Should I have made my sandwich yesterday? What if the garbage is full? Am I allowed to take my garbage out? I mean, I know it stinks really bad, but I'm going to have to wait till Sabbath is over. I don't think so. But on the other hand, if I have a big project that I need to work on this week or something that's a bigger project around the house, like a full-on kind of like fall clean, massive clean of the house, my wife's smiling if I would do that. But if I was to do that, I know it's going to be this big 4 or 5 hour project, can it wait for some other day during the week? Because today's a day of rest. People ask me from time to time, how was your week? Somebody asked me that this morning. I said, it was pretty full. I had 25 counseling appointments, had a sermon to prepare, had a wedding last night. It was a great week. It was a fun week. Got a date night with my wife Thursday. It was a full week. I had to hang out with missionary Dave Comer way back 30 years ago. I mean, it's been a full week. This afternoon, I'll probably put my feet up, pour a glass of lemonade, maybe a little chips and salsa. I might take a nap. Sometimes I take a nap even if I don't want to. It just happens. Sunday afternoon hits and I'm out. I'm down. 1, 2, 3, he's out. It's like the wrestling ref, you know, hits the mat 3 times. I'm out even when I don't want to sometimes. So can there be things that can wait, that you can do later in the week? You have 4 loads of laundry. Do you have to do it today? I mean, you can if you need something for work tomorrow, but if it can wait, maybe you should just chill out and rest today. You get the idea, guys? My guess is that most of us probably don't struggle so much with what we can or can't do. That's my guess. But the Sabbath is a gift for us. And so I think we probably more struggle with just taking rest at all. And some people are like, no, American culture is kind of lazy. I don't know. I mean, a lot of American culture is like, we can't sit still. I mean, some people can sit still. I mean, some teenagers, right? They're like, get out of bed. Parents are like, get out of bed. But the point is, like, I think a lot of Americans overwork, hence my statistics at the beginning of this message. I wonder if we don't struggle so much with what we can or can't do, because, and again, I'm saying that that's not the best question, but we struggle with whether we should rest at all. I mean, do you work 7 days a week? Do you feel regularly stressed? Do you have high blood pressure? I mean, I know there could be other reasons for high blood pressure, but there's been an association with stress. I mean, Do you feel like you get a break? Do you easily feel wiped out during the week? What if you were to take a day of rest? Might you be more efficient in the other 6 days of the week when you do work? True story, when I was at Purdue University, before I met Dr. Comer, when I was at Purdue University in 1994, in the spring of 1994, it was the fall of 93, spring of 94, a few of my friends started thinking about this concept of the Sabbath. We started talking, and I remember four of us, we said, you know, let's try a little experiment. Let's take Sundays off. Let's not even do homework on Sundays. Now, this might mean sometimes on Saturdays, we're going to have to push it a little more to do homework. Because a lot of times we wouldn't touch the books hardly on Saturdays. You know, it was football game day or barbecue game day and everything. And then Sunday would come in church, and it's like after church, it's like, oh, I got to study all day. Because I got a whole week ahead. I got a test Monday. I got a test Wednesday. I got a big paper due Friday. I got a quiz Tuesday. Got all this reading to do. And so by the time they're on the last, you know, song of worship and the pastor comes up and does the benediction, we're like, oh, yeah, I know, can't go to lunch, sorry, can't fellowship with you today. No, can't come to that meeting tonight, sorry. No, I can't go to your home church and do youth group with you, sorry. I got all this homework to do. And we said, why don't we try to just not do homework on Sunday? And it was a fun little idea, it was a fun little experience, and here's what we found. Literally within like the first few months, big tests that were scheduled for Monday, all of a sudden on Friday, the teacher goes, you know, I've decided to push our exam back to Wednesday. That big paper that was due got pushed back 2 weeks later, so we had more time. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Like, I didn't orchestrate this, but like, God must have been talking to our professors because they were changing things that we were, you know, really felt urgent, really felt pressure to do. God provided the time for us to get it done. It was really fun. And our Sundays were really, really fun because church was like, oh, we're at church. Church is Sunday fun day. It's like worship God and then where do you want to go to lunch? And hey, you want to hang out? And then Sunday night we would go to this church and people break out the guitars and we'd be singing and praying for each other. And it was like, this was the best day. And we would look forward to Sundays. It was so fun. And some of my friends at church, some of my other friends were really stressed out about work and school. And I'm not saying I wasn't stressed, sometimes I was, but it just, God just opened doors and blessed us. So I love telling that story. Starting to take a Sabbath might involve figuring some things out is the point, of making some adjustments, to do some things on some other days, to get some things done if you really want to kind of take a day of rest. Yeah, you might need to work a little. There was some Saturday nights I didn't go out with my friends. Nope, can't go to that movie, guys, or can't come hang out because I got to finish this. But tomorrow I'm off all day. You know, want to hang out tomorrow. So you may need to make some adjustments in order to take a day off. But there is a biblical benefit here, a precedent here, that this is for you. This is an opportunity for you. My suggestion is to realize that the Sabbath is a gift for you, whether that be on a Sunday or some other day of the week. Take that day to rest from normal work and from things that are not absolutely necessary for you to do that might feel like work. Now, here's the thing. Here's another thing, right? For some people, things that others might consider as work, it doesn't feel like work for them. If it's really fun for you to pull out your leaf blower, you know, blow the leaves all around your backyard and clean up your backyard, if that doesn't feel like work for you because you like to be in the outdoors and you like to see the pile of leaves cleaned up and that feels, okay. I don't think that's a problem. So some things, the point is what feels like rest for you, what feels like work, what things are energizing for you, what things are fun for you, what are things that you enjoy, what feels like a break for you. You know, I might read a chapter of theology this afternoon. For some of you, you're like, oh, that sounds like hard work. Like, oh, you see, it depends. It can be different for different people. Okay, I ramble. Let's reel it in. Second point in this passage, it's not rambling. It's good stuff, right? I just really deviate from my notes, and I don't know where it's going to go. You know, it's like I'm going to talk for a half hour on it. Okay, the second point in our passage pertaining to the Sabbath is that the Sabbath is not meant to restrict us from doing what is good. Verse 6 begins with an explanation of what happened on another Sabbath. As we've seen before, Jesus enters the synagogue and he begins to teach. there's a man in the synagogue whose right hand was withered. And that word here for withered likely refers to someone with like a partial paralysis. Sometimes you've seen somebody that has a hand, you know, they're sort of like this. I think that's the idea here. It's a partial paralysis or maybe even a full paralysis in the hand. The scribes and the Pharisees, we are told, watched Jesus closely to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath. The implication is, can't do that on the Sabbath. It breaks the rules and regs as they understood them and misapplied them. And this word watched is used here in other places in Luke's writings. In the book of Acts, where Luke is also the author of Acts, when the people were watching at the gates looking for an opportunity to kill Paul, that's the same word watched is used. The word's also used in Luke 20, verse 20, where spies are sent to try and question and trap Jesus with questions about paying taxes to Caesar. Here's the point. The word watched isn't like, I see you. It's a malicious, intentional, trying to trap, trying to get somebody. That's what they're doing by watching to see if he'll heal him. We want to get this guy. We want to prove to everybody that what he's doing is wrong. And so they do. They watch and they have an intent to, really an evil intent, to try to trap Jesus, to try to make him look bad, to say he's a lawbreaker, he's not somebody you should follow. You should follow us, we're the righteous religious leaders. Oh, and by the way, you have to follow all of our rules and regs too. They unfold the scroll with all their additional rules that aren't necessarily things that God's word had. But Jesus, being the omniscient God, knows what they're thinking. Verse 8, he calls the man with the withered hand to come near him. And then verse 9, Jesus asks the whole synagogue, is it lawful or not to do good on the Sabbath? Or to do harm? What a great question. To save a life or to destroy it? The implication here is that not doing good on the Sabbath can actually be destructive. So Jesus tells the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Perhaps to demonstrate some response of faith in the man, which indeed he does, and then he's healed. Well, how do the Pharisees respond to this? Look at verse 11. They are filled with fury. That word translated fury is the antonym of thinking with the mind. And if you think of thinking with the mind, we think of being reasonable. We think of reasoning. What's the antonym of that? This word filled with fury. In other words, they were out of their mind. They weren't even rational. Like, have you ever experienced being so mad you couldn't even think clearly? You know? And, you know, this is what's going on. They are so filled with fury, they're not even thinking straight. It's like a mindless reactivity. They're in a rage. Jesus has healed on the Sabbath. And not only that, he corrected them. You see, much of what the Pharisees and scribes has established as lawful were really their own traditions, their own rules and regs. It wasn't necessarily in the law of God. Or they were taking what was in the law and misapplying it. They tended to focus more on the legalities than on the heart of the matter, and in doing so, they missed the purpose of what God really intends for the Sabbath. So Jesus corrects their understanding, but they don't like being corrected. In fact, they think Jesus is heretical, they think he's dangerous, and for the first time, verse 11 here, for the first time in this gospel, we now see they have an intention to harm him. They begin to discuss what they might do to Jesus. So this is the beginning, the steps towards the cross. He stirred up the religious leaders, and they are going to start to plot and plan, how can we get rid of this guy? Jesus would go to the cross. The lines are being drawn. Some are accepting Jesus and his teaching. Others are rejecting him, but God knows this, and it's all part of his plan. The point that Jesus makes here is that the Sabbath is not meant to restrict people from doing good. Acts of mercy, doing ministry, helping other people are all very appropriate to do on the Sabbath. For example, thank God hospitals are still open on the Sabbath. Thank God for medical workers. Thank God for people that still deliver babies. Thank God for people, if you're hurt, you can get some help. Thank God for police officers that still patrol our city on a Sabbath. You know, I mean, we can keep going, right? Like, there's obviously things. Thank God for grocery stores. If I go home and I don't have any turkey left and I need to go to the grocery store to make my turkey sandwich, then I can go to the grocery store and get some turkey. You know, I mean, it's okay to have some of these things on the Sabbath. If you get home today and a neighbor needs some help, help your neighbor. If you feel led, unless you don't feel led and you really can't, but like, if your neighbor needs some help, maybe you can help your neighbor. Not be like, sorry, I can't help you today. I know you're hurt right now, but I can't help you. I can't drive you anywhere. I can't. I mean, obviously, it gets ridiculous, right? Like, you can do good. If your neighbor needs some help, you can do good. It might be an opportunity to connect with your neighbor, build a relationship that could lead to a gospel conversation. It's reasonable to do ministry on the Sabbath. You can prepare a Bible study today if you want. You can call someone in church. You can call a friend. You can hang out with friends. You can go serve the poor if you want to today, if today's your Sabbath. You see? We should prayerfully consider this issue of the Sabbath and the application of it to our lives. And again, I think for most of us, it's not going to be wrestling with what we can do or not do. I think it's going to be wrestling with, can I take a day of rest, whether today or some other day? And can you start to develop a routine? And if that sounds scary for you, give it a try. Like I told you, my friends and I did a little experiment. It really worked. We took the step of faith. We tried it. It was a blessing. And I've never turned back. I've tried to keep a Sabbath in my own way ever since. But I have times when I obviously work on Sundays in terms of ministry. I do a lot of ministry. I've had times when I've done races on a Sunday. I like to swim. I do these swim races. Some of you know that. And, well, I try to take a different day off that week, you see? Because, again, Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath. It's a gift for me. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So we should prayerfully consider what this issue of the Sabbath and how it applies to our individual lives and understand what might be a Sabbath for you might look different than for somebody else. I would recommend praying about it, being open to this because of the blessing that the Sabbath can bring and to the joy it can bring in your life and also to the way it can help you cultivate with thankfulness your relationship with God. Real rest is fully and finally experienced in Jesus. You can enjoy a Sabbath rest that God gives you weekly, but don't get caught up or stressed out in all the possible scenarios and specifics of what is working, what is not, what can I do, what can't I do. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. You're not bound to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a gift for you to rest, to worship, and to delight in your relationship with God. And ultimately, Christ, through his death on the cross and resurrection, has opened up the way for us to enter into his rest in a right relationship with God, which leads to us being in his eternal rest forever with him. And that's going to be better than any Sabbath on this life. But we have that eternal rest that we can enter into because Jesus has made that possible. Turn to him and trust him. He died and rose again to give you that rest. God, we thank you for the incredible gift of your eternal rest that you give us through Jesus. We thank you for dying on a cross, rising from the dead, loving us enough to forgive us and call us your people. God, we thank you as well for the gift of the Sabbath, a day of rest, a day to enjoy, a day to be strengthened in our relationship with you, and a day to recover, in a sense, from all the hard work we do week in and week out. And I pray for my friends here that you would speak to their hearts of how this might apply to them, and with their unique situation, with their careers, with times when they may work on Sundays and have to, how they might be able to find rest a different day of the week, and how they might be able to really experience this rest in the here and now that points to the eternal rest that is to come. And God, I pray for any here that feel overworked, that feel burnt out, that feel overwhelmed, that feel stressed, that this would be an encouraging day for them as well, that would refresh and refuel them and give them your peace, your rest, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've fulfilled the law and its requirements. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that the Sabbath is a gift for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? Let's close in one final song of worship.